First Peter chapter number 3. I asked somebody in the vestibule, I was going to say this morning, but this afternoon, I said, what time is it? They said, it's almost 1 o'clock. I said, I'm glad I threw my watch away. Amen. Amen. First Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 8. Peter says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, and be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Boy, that's a good verse to read after we just got out of the altar, isn't it? Amen. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you? I thought about that verse when the choir was singing, living by faith. Amen. And feel no alarm. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. I don't think I'm going to get to verse 15 tonight, so I'll stop reading right there, and we'll just see what God has for us. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here. Lord, the singing tonight has been absolutely wonderful. The sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you, God, for the fellowship among your people. Lord, I pray for that home this morning where that sister asked me in the vestibule to pray for them, that they were at a crossroads in their home. And Lord Jesus, I pray tonight, God, that you would just work, and Lord, that they would be able to find and stay in the path that you would have for their lives. I, Lord, pray tonight for that young one that's been on my heart all week. God, I pray that you'll just continue to work. I pray, Lord, tonight for unction from the Holy One. God, I thank you for a Bible that's trustworthy. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you didn't just write a Bible telling us all the time what we like to hear and what we want to hear. But, Lord, you gave us a Bible telling us what we need to hear. And Lord, you loved us enough to do that for us. Help us to love you enough, Lord, to speak the truth in love. Help us, our Father, to be obedient. And help us, our Lord, tonight. And Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that does not have a personal relationship with Jesus, Lord, they may have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They may have religion, but they may not have a relationship. God, I pray for that individual. Lord, I spent 6.5 years, Lord, in that condition. Lord, what a miserable condition it was to be going through the motions. And yet down in my heart, I knew that it just was never right. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning we looked at rejoicing in the home. We came out of those two verses over there in chapter 1 and verse number 6 and verse number 8, where Peter talks about that rejoicing. That's that jumping up and down kind in chapter number 1 with gladness. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. We know that that's pertaining to the trials. And verse 7, he said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We talked about the rejoicing this morning in the home. Tonight, I want to share for just a few minutes about the rejoicing in the house of God. Notice what the Bible said right here in this chapter 3 of the book of 1 Peter. If you come down here in verse number 8, I believe it is. Let me see here. Yes, verse number 8. He says, finally, be ye all. He's talking to all of us now. All believers, all of God's youngins, all the Christians, amen. And he says, I want you to be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, and be courteous. Let me just share three things with you quickly tonight. And that first thing I would say is the rejoicing in the house of God is the result of being in one mind. You remember over there in the book of Acts, when Jesus told the disciples to go into the upper room and the women and the men gathered for prayer in the upper room. The Bible said that they were in one mind and in one accord. He said, preacher, what happens when God's people get in one mind and one accord? Well, the first thing that happens is He's pleased. I tell you, there's nothing like being a parent and watching your youngins play together or work together and know, amen, that they're getting along. I think about Brother Mike and Brother Johnny, how proud their mom and dad must be. I mean, that they're able to work together and they're able to get along, amen, and how that must bless their heart. Well, I'll tell you one thing right now. Our Father in Heaven, when He looks down and He says, Bible Way Baptist Church, getting along and working together, amen, and worshiping together, amen, it pleases Him. I believe it causes Him to be blessed in His heart, amen. And the Bible talks about one mind. We read with me a couple of passages of Scripture real quickly. Over in the book of Romans, in verse number 12, or chapter number 12, and verse number 10, and verse number 16. Just a couple passages, and we'll move right on into the second point. In Romans chapter 12, and verse number 10, here's what the Word of God said. It said, be ye kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I'm going to tell you tonight, that is a submission, amen, that cannot come any other way than through the Spirit of the living God. In honor, preferring one another. The Bible talks about preferring our brother before ourselves. How many knows that's totally against mankind's nature? Amen. The only thing that can help us to do that is that new man, that spiritual man, can help us to live in a manner that's pleasing to God in one mind. Look at verse 16. He said, be of the same mind one toward another. Let me just say this. I don't see an ounce of this around Bible Way Baptist Church. But let me just throw out a warning shot, so to speak. I'm going to tell you something right now. The day that we make preference one over the other among God's people is the day that we're going to bid the blessings of God farewell. Are you listening to me? Amen. I believe with all of my heart that the Lord despises that when we have respect of persons. Amen. I believe every one of God's youngins is important. I believe every one of God's youngins are precious. And I believe Jesus died for every one of them. And I believe Jesus can use every one of them. And Jesus has a purpose for every one of them. And I pray tonight that we could see that in the Scripture. He said, be of the same mind one to another. He said, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And be not wise in your own conceit. And there's another passage. It may be right there in Romans chapter 12. I kind of believe it is. Let me see if I can find it. I didn't look at it today. There it is. Look at verse 3. He said, for I say, through the grace given unto me, not to think of him to every man that is among you. I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. How many knows what it, another word for would be for thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think? Here's the word that comes to my mind, pride. Amen. The Lord don't want us to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Amen. You might be blessed with a wonderful talent, but remember who gave it to you. Amen. You might be blessed with a wonderful ability, but remember who gave it to you. Amen. And ought to humble us tonight under the mighty hand of God to know that He's using us in the work of the Lord. We see tonight one mind. Look at John, please, for just a moment. The book of John. How come there's rejoicing in the house of God? Well, part of it's being of one mind and one accord. Notice what the Bible said in John chapter 17. I think this is important. If you have your Bible and you would like to label John 17, this is what I would label it, the Lord's Prayer. That's what John chapter 17 is. In several of my Bibles, they label the Lord's Prayer, that prayer that says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I'm not fussing tonight, but that's a model prayer. That's not Jesus praying. Amen. John chapter 17 is our Savior talking to His Father, and get this, on our behalf. Amen. He's already starting His mediator work. Amen. In the presence of God. And watch what He prays for. This is what I want to get right here in verse number 21. He said that they all may be one, even as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe. How many would like to see Bloomingdale believe? Amen. Well, listen, Jesus is praying that Bloomingdale will believe, that the world will believe. But He said what's going to help that to come to pass is when God's people are in one mind. Amen. The Bible said here that they may be one, even as we are one. He said that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. Watch this now. In verse 22, and the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I believe tonight that's important. He's given us, my friend, the Spirit of God and the glory of God that we might be one. Look at verse 23. He said, I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Listen to me carefully tonight. Somebody could take that passage of Scripture and say, well, preacher, one day after a while when Jesus comes, we'll be one. Listen, that's not talking about when Jesus comes. That's talking about right now. In this present world, amen, living godly and righteously and soberly, that the world may be influenced by the church and by the people of God in this generation. The Bible's talking about one mind. Look at Psalms chapter 133 for just a moment, please. And I'll move right on. In the book of Psalms in chapter 133, the Bible said, Behold, I'm not there yet, but I can quote part of it. How good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. I better be finding it now because I'm running out of quote. Amen. And then the Bible said, It is like the precious ointment. Amen. It's stuck together now. It's like the precious ointment. I think it ran down upon Aaron's beard. We'll get it here in just a moment. Thank God for the precious ointment. Thank God for unity. Amen. Watch what the Bible said here. Boy, you would stick. That's all right. We got it. Amen. He said, it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. That unity of one mind, one accord is precious in the eyes of God. Amen. And the Lord wants us to strive for that. That like mind, I looked that up. It means harmonious. Now listen, I don't know a lot about music. Y'all already know that. But if Laura's over there playing in the key of C, amen, and Justin's over here playing in the key of G, and then Brother Fred's trying to lead them in the key of D, that makes a mess. Say amen. I'm telling you, you got to get all of them in the same key. That reminds me of what Brother David Ring said years ago. He was standing behind the pulpit getting ready to sing after he preached. I've never heard him sing, but what I didn't weep. And he had cerebral palsy.
and he was a mess, so to speak. And he'd tell you that, amen? And the lady at the piano said, "What key?" He said, "Don't matter. I'll get done. Amen? That's what he said, amen? I'll tell you one thing right now. He might have been in all the keys, but it was making music in heaven, amen? It was coming from his heart, and the harmony was wonderful. And God wants the harmony to be wonderful in the house of God, amen? The harmony and the one mind. Not only I see here one mind, but let me show you here in verse number 8. Get back over here to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Not only is there one mind that's being reflected here, that there's rejoicing in the house of God, but there's one motive. He said, "Preacher, what do you see?" Finally, he said, be ye all of one mind. And then here's the motive: having compassion one of another. The Bible said, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that's spotted by the flesh. You say, "Preacher, what's going on here?" If there's going to be a rejoicing in the house of God, it has to be because God's people are in one mind, but then they're doing what they do for the same reason. There's one motive, and that is we love Him because He first loved us. By the way, we love one another because He first loved us. The Bible talks about when we became a believer that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There is no love apart from the Holy Spirit of the living God. Now watch what compassion will do. Here's the test. He said, "Love as brethren." That's that phileo love, that brotherly love. And then he said, "Be pitiful." I wrote down a couple of things here. That means to be sympathetic. That means to be tender-hearted, to be pitiful. Look over there with me, if you will. I might be able to quote part of that over there in Ephesians chapter 4, where the Bible said, "And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption." He said, "Let all bitterness and clamor and wrath and evil speaking be put away from you." And he said, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Amen. I tell you what we need to understand. When someone needs to be forgiven and needs pity, we ought to forgive and pity them like we'd want somebody to forgive us if we were guilty of the same thing. Amen. I believe tonight that God's love can help us to be pitiful, can help us to be, the Bible uses the word here, courteous. It means of a friendly mind. It means to be kind. I believe with all my heart that kindness will go a long way, amen, towards keeping the peace and keeping the harmony and keeping the unity of the Spirit among God's people, amen. The kindness of God. Watch what he said. He said, "Be of one mind, having compassion one of another." We see that one motive. He said, "To love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." And then he said this, "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing." Watch this now. He said, "But blessing, contrarywise, blessing." Who's a good example of this in the Word of God? I'll tell you who. There's probably others, but the one that comes to my mind is Joseph. Joseph did not render to his brethren evil for evil, but rather, just like the Bible said, contrarywise, blessing. Amen. He was kind to them. The Bible even said he spake kindly unto them. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, not only did he speak kindly unto them, but he acted kindly unto them. He gave them exactly what they needed to sustain them, to sustain their father, to sustain their families. Amen. The kindness of God, my friend, is more than just words. It's, my friend, God's compassion, his love in action. Amen. We don't just say, "Be you warmed and filled." But my friend, we want to help. He said, "Not rendering evil for evil." Some people are going to be evil. Some people are not going to do right. But we don't do wrong just because they did wrong. He said, "Knowing that you're thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing." You know, it's easy to love them that love you. But that's not where the blessing comes. The blessing comes because of being able to love them that don't love you. Even those that might persecute you or despitefully use you. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, he's talking here about rejoicing in the church. Amen. We can be of one mind. We can be of one motive. The Bible said here, the blessing here, that means fine speaking and elegance of language. I thought of a verse of Scripture when I read that definition that says this, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Amen. Let me say this to you. Every one of us at some point in our Christian experience are going to get out of sorts. How many knows what I just said? Amen. But you know what? It would help a whole lot if one's out of sorts, if somebody's still in sorts. Amen. And could turn away the wrath with a soft answer. Amen. And be kind one to another. Be tender-hearted. Amen. Watch this now. Say, preacher, how can we rejoice in the house of God? One mind and then one motive. Watch what he said here. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. I looked that word guile up and I didn't know this, but it means to decoy. It means a trick. It means bait. It means deceit. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. You know, in the springtime, you can go out there among the turkeys. And the way you get a big old gobbler is sit down against a tree and try to hide yourself and sit there and act like a girl turkey at the bottom of the tree. That's the way you kill a big old gobbler. Amen. You want to sound like his girlfriend. Amen. Well, every once in a while, it's good. If you know you're all by yourself, I wouldn't do it if I didn't know I was all by myself. But you can set out a decoy. That gives him something to look at while he's listening to you. Amen. He'll just come in there strutting his stuff. Amen. But the Bible said that you and I are to speak no guile. Our words are to be words of truth. They're not be words of deceit. They're not be words that would decoy. Amen. And trick someone. They're to be words that are wholesome words that God can use for the glory of God. Not rendering evil for evil. He that will love life, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Watch this. If we have the right motive, he said, let him eschew evil and do good and let him seek peace and ensue it. I looked up two words. Eschew means to shun. Ensue means to pursue. I mean, that's pretty simple. Amen. God said, there's some things I want you to shun. There's some things I want you to run from. But there's some things I want you to pursue. There's some things I want you to run to, in other words. Amen. If we're going to have the rejoicing that God wants us to have in the house of God. To eschew, what did he say to get away from? Evil. To do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Let's look for good. Let's look for peace. And let's pursue the good and the peace. Well, there's one mind. There's one motive. Brother Larry testified a while ago when I told him he was preaching my message. Here's where I'm coming from on that. There's one maker. I'll show it to you right here. Look at verse number 12. The Bible said, for the eyes of the Lord. Let me say something that'll help you tonight. It'll help you. How many knows that sometimes people just don't do right? Let me give you something. You're never going to answer for what they didn't do right. You're going to answer for you. We are all, as individuals, going to stand in front of one maker. You say, well, preacher, I'm not saved. You'll still stand before that one maker. He still made you. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm not going to bow my knee. Maybe not now, but you will one day. I'll guarantee you every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You say, preacher, what are you getting at here? What's this one maker? He said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I believe it's important tonight when we think about rejoicing in the church to know that it comes as a result of being of one mind, having the same motive, doing what we do. I will tell you something right now. The Christmas play is fixing to take place. And I don't know how the people that are involved with that do it. I don't see how in the world that in this length of time you can put on what was put on here last year. But I'll tell you this, it's a lot of work. Amen. I know it's a lot of work, but I know this, my friend, the eyes of the Lord are over us. Amen. And there might be times when, you know, we're going to try to get the fellowship hall, God willing, ready before our Christmas banquet. amen, and get it fixed and painted and the carpet down and all that. Well, it'd be easy at some point in time to forget who's watching. And to forget what our motive is. Our motive is because we love Him. We love one another because He first loved us. Amen. Watch what the Bible said here. Our friend, One Maker. The Bible said in Psalm 95, verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." It's Proverbs 22 and 2 said, "The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the Maker of them all." I believe tonight, if we just realize tonight, we have the same Maker. And by the way, let me just say something right there. Brother, God made you the way God wanted you. And God made me the way God wanted me. And if we're not careful, we lose sight of something right here. You say, "Preacher, how can people that are so different be one?" Only one way. One Maker. Amen. And it's not the differences that make us one, but it's the similarities that make us one. We all met the same Lord at Calvary in faith and repentance. We're all going to the same heaven when we leave this world as a child of God. We all have the same Holy Ghost living in us. We all have the same Bible, amen. If you don't, you need to get the same Bible, amen. And we all, my friend, are headed in the same direction. Because God, the Maker of them all, began a work in us. The Bible said, I'm confident. Paul said of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, what happens? What gets churches in trouble?" Let me just tell you right now. What happens? Well, they lose that one mind. They lose that one motive. Amen. And they lose sight. There's just one Maker. Just one. Amen. Just one. But if we work together, we worship together, we wait on the Lord together, we pray together, amen, it's untelling. God's already working, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen to what God wants to do. Amen. In our lives, in our homes, in our community, if we'll just keep. The old songwriter said, "Praise Him. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer." Amen. If He's the center, let me just say this. Here's a good way to say it. Jesus will make much of the church that makes much of Him. Amen. Brother Gary, I was going to tell you this in private. I'll just tell it to you tonight because I'll liable to forget after the service. I'd like to leave most of the sign down there just like it is for a little while. We appreciate we thank God. We thank God for and appreciate. And then it's got our pastor, Brother Rick and Sister Eve. That's on the sign. Something like that, ain't it? I want you to leave that first part alone. We thank God for and appreciate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with appreciating the pastor. No. But it's Thanksgiving time. I want this community to know there's somebody around here besides the pastor. His name's Jesus. Amen. And we love Him and we appreciate Him. And we thank the Lord that He come down and done what He done for us. Amen. I appreciate Him, don't you? I know what I am without Him. One preacher said, without Jesus, he said, I'm a zero with the rim knocked off. Nothing. Without Him, I can do nothing. But I tell you, there's nothing that we can't do with God's help. He said, I can do all things, Paul did, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I want you to pray tonight that God will just keep us in one mind. If we're not in one mind, I'm being honest with you. I don't know it. Brother Ralph, if we're not in one mind, I know the pastor's the last one to find things out sometimes. But if we're not in one mind, I don't know it. Amen. If we're not all operating out of the same motive, I don't know it. And if we don't all look to the same Maker, I don't know it. And I say this, what God's saying tonight is, stay on the track. Let the Word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. Let's not veer off to the left or veer off to the right. Let's walk right down the center of the road with Him. Amen. And I believe with all my heart He will continue to bless His young'uns. Amen. And to bless this community. Amen. You say, preacher, this community's blessed to have this church. That's true. Let me tell you something else. This church is blessed to have this community. There's a whole lot worse communities in America. I can tell you that right now. Amen. I don't think anybody's worried about getting stabbed, getting to their vehicle tonight. Amen. Out here, I'm telling you, there's a mess in this country. And we live in a wonderful place to live. And let's do what God would have us to do while we live here. I'm just glad you come tonight. God wants us to rejoice. Let's rejoice. Rejoice in your home, because it'll bleed right over into the house of God. If we're rejoicing in the home, it'll come right on into the house of God. Yes, sir. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here. God, I know tonight, Lord, there may be someone that don't even know what rejoicing's about. Lord, they're still lost. They're still walking in darkness. They're still guilty before God. They're still carrying the shame of sin. God, I pray tonight, Lord, if that individual's here tonight, God, that you'd make yourself real to them. God, that they'd understand that, Lord, they're just one humble prayer, just one step of faith. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, to be a kind of a hospital in a world where lives are broken, homes are broken. Help us to be a spiritual hospital where people could come in and find healing, find some bandages for their wounds. And Lord, that they might, Father, Lord, be able to rejoice once again in their lives. I do pray tonight, Lord, for Kenneth, for others, Lord, that may be nearing the shore this evening. I pray, God, tonight that you would bless them and help them. And I pray, Father, tonight you'd keep your hand on our church. God, we give you the glory. Lord, we know, our Father, that you've been good to us. Lord, don't let us just, as Brother Brian said, once a year, thank you. Help us to thank you, Lord, every day, several times a day. Lord, for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. God, I know that there are needs in the church. God, I know you'll meet them. That's just the way you are. Lord, you've never let us down. And God, you never will. Lord, we trust you. We lean upon you. Help me, God, as a pastor, to magnify the Lord. Help us, God, as a church, to lift up Jesus. Help us to make much of the cross, to make much of that precious blood, to make much, Lord, of our home in heaven when we leave this world. I pray, God, tonight, use us.